perspective shift, unveiling paradigms and perceptions. Navigating Christian doctrines can be overwhelming. Returning to biblical interpretation is vital for clarity and unity. Shifting perspectives to align with the Word of God brings authenticity to our faith. Let's seek truth together with open hearts and minds. Perspective Shift with Dare Akinsanya.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Perspective Shift, Unveiling Paradigms in Perceptions. I am your host, Dare Akinsanya, and I'm glad that you joined today. Also, happy Thanksgiving to Americans listening. It's the Thanksgiving weekend in America, and I hope you all had a healthy celebration this last Thursday. Today, we are looking at a common phrase that has become misleading for many believers and has caused unnecessary frustration to many. This is the idea that God's timing is the best. This is widely held among believers, but it has been taken to deep extremes. While it is true, it's been taken to deep extremes, which causes many believers to become disappointed with God out of frustration. Don't get me wrong. God has timing for things, even though He does not operate in time. He operates outside of time. So in this episode, titled, God's Timing Misconception, and I welcome you to join me along as we go into scriptures. I know many are wondering, what is he talking about? The Bible says, 1,000 years like a day in God's sight. We know that from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. It says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. This clarifies that God operates outside of time. If we go to verse 9, we see it clearer. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us. That is, he is waiting for us, not willing that we perish, but that all should come to repentance. So timing in that verse that we quote all of the time is not talking about the appointed time. I know we talk about Habakkuk chapter 2 also, verse 3, which says, write the vision, make it plain. And the concluding part says, it is for an appointed time. Even though it tarries, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not fail. Yes, God has appointed time. And I'll give a definition of appointed time, of God's timing towards the end of this presentation. But I want to clarify or build up to that stage first so that the meaning can come out as intended. Many things we blame God for already has ready-made answers waiting for us. But we are not aware for some reason and indirectly accuse God that he is the one delaying. Remember, this is a series where we talk about love and justice. God is a God of love and is also a God of justice. God will not reward ignorance. And let me repeat that. God will not reward ignorance, even though he loves us so much. There are some things that he has laid plain before us that he expects us to walk in or walk with. But when we ignore them, it will not do anything, even though he loves us. Let me state this clearly again. God is not responsible for any delay that we experience. The truth is that what we call God's timing, or that we say God is the God of the midnight hour, or is an on-time God, is actually referring to our own readiness. God's timing with respect to man's agenda is the readiness of man. When we've been waiting for something so long, and then we lay hold of it, we say, oh, God is the God of midnight hour. No, God has been waiting all along. We are the one that came into a readiness position, a readiness state, that we now position ourselves to receive that which God had already made available for us in the first place. Because we now just found it doesn't mean God just showed up. No, it just means that we just found it. It had been there all along. We were the one that did not see them. Can you imagine God saving money to give someone or working extra hours to make more money because of a need? No, that is impossible, impractical. He does not have to rehearse to do anything or prepare to do anything. So when we say he is an on-time God, it means he delivers at the point of our readiness. Let's consider some scriptures that have been misrepresented or misinterpreted as being a delay from God. Psalm 13, for example, verse 1, David said, "How long, O Lord, how long will you forget me?" To put some context around this, there are some things that God does not respond to immediately. We know that from the story of the widow in Luke chapter 18. And David himself answered his own question in Psalm 130 verse 3. He says, "If you, O Lord, will mark iniquity, that no one will stand." So when it comes to vengeance, God is slow to anger. He is always leaving room for repentance. Because if he never left room for repentance, none of us will be standing today. We are all guilty of something, even in the present day. We may not know it, but we are guilty of something. But the good news is Jesus paid the price of anything so that we feel no guilt. That's why Romans 8:1 says, "Now there is no condemnation for him who is in Christ." It's not that we are perfect, but we are perfect through him. Without Jesus Christ in the equation, we are a bunch of folks walking around in filthy rags. And let me say this. The people we are praying for God to destroy on our behalf, God is waiting upon them, waiting that they come to repentance. If God acted swiftly every time we call for someone to be destroyed, no one will stand, including ourselves. We will be greatly amazed how many people may be praying against us. Some people are praying against you right now that you don't know. You may be sitting on someone's blessing. Or you may be doing something that is impacting somebody else negatively without you knowing. And they are praying to God. You want God to answer their prayers? That means you're gone. So when it comes to vengeance and vindication, the answer may come slow. I know you'll say, oh, you always say God's answers are yes and amen. Yes, God's answers are yes and amen. That is, the minute we pray valid prayers, God answers them. But the prayer for vengeance and vindication are a different category. That's not the part of the mountain Jesus Christ was talking about in the epistles, where it says, when you speak to the mountain and do not doubt in your heart, you will receive whatever we say. That has nothing to do with vengeance and vindication. Those are God's prerogative. So, in this episode, I am not focusing on that part, which is God's prerogative, because we cannot change it. We cannot alter His grace. We cannot alter divine plan. And someone may say, well, there was a time Moses prayed and interceded for the Israelites, and God changed his plans from destroying them. That is different. And somebody also may say, oh, well, King Hezekiah, God pronounced him that he was going to die, and he prayed, and God added 15 more years to him. We'll go deeper into that later. But there's one in Ezekiah that actually pertains to what we're talking about, and we will get there. But first, let us go into Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 2 also, where the prophet Habakkuk said to the Lord, says, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not answer me? That was a prayer out of frustration. And the last time I checked, frustration does not align with faith. But that's not where I'm going, so we don't get distracted. God's answer to Habakkuk was very interesting. This infers that it is God that was actually waiting for something to happen before Habakkuk can see the manifestation that he was seeking. Let's look at that from Habakkuk chapter 1, the same chapter 1. Now, let's focus on verses 6, 5 and 6. This is God speaking back to Habakkuk. It says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe, though it were told to you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth, to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Let us take note of what God said about the Chaldeans. He said to Habakkuk, I am waiting. Technically, because it says, I am raising up the Chaldeans. So I am waiting for a time when the Chaldeans will get to a particular state. Which means the faster the Chaldeans get to that state, the faster Habakkuk will see what he's been seeking for. We must recognize that everything we are on earth or anything that we do on earth must be about God's purpose. We are created for specific purposes. And I might say something here that may be very discomforting. The purpose of Jesus Christ coming to this earth was to die and go through suffering. There are many people also that laid their lives for other people to have better lives. That's why many nations like America celebrate the fallen soldiers, because it takes someone to selflessly sacrifice themselves for their nations. And to all military men out there, military men and women, thank you for your service, and may God watch over you in whatever mission that you are in right now. So going back to the Chaldeans, the faster they become notoriously ripe in their wicked ways, the faster Habakkuk will see the breakthrough he was longing for. If the phrase, God's timing is the best, is to be rephrased to something like, our readiness time is the best, it will help shape our mindset and take our focus away from God's timing. And we will cease to blame God when we don't see things happening and focus on ourselves. That's why I like the book, Seven Decisions. The first decision says the buck stops with us. When we take responsibility of whatever situation that we are in, I'm not saying that we own it, we take responsibility, because we cannot do anything in our own strength. By strength shall no man prevail. But our responsibility is to take responsibility. In the Gospels, Jesus grieved over Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19, verse 42. Because he said they did not know the time of their visitation. They kept praying and longing for a Savior. And when the Savior came, they couldn't recognize him. And they continued praying. Imagine how God may be grieving because we fail to recognize the resources he has already placed around us. The sooner we recognize them, the sooner our breakthroughs happen. Solomon mentioned the criticality of human timing in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, time to eat, time to live, time to die. We all quote that. And Jesus emphasized this in John chapter 9, verse 4, that we must work the one who sent him. Because why? We must do the work while it is day, because a time will come when we can no longer do work. He was emphasizing on the human timing on earth. Remember, God does not work by the human timing standards that we know. He is the beginning and the end and everything in between. So time is not for God. Time is for us humans. This means that the sooner we do the needful, the sooner manifestations follow. And if you follow my podcast or have read my books, you would have heard me point out a few times how Abraham was the one who delayed his own blessing. God told him to do three things. He did two, and until he did the third. So God told him, leave your household, your family, and your country. He left the household and the country, but it took Lot with him, and Lot was his family. So he did not get rid of the family as God told him. And the Bible said specifically that it was when, in Genesis chapter 13, it was when Abraham separated with Lot that God now appeared to him and showed him what he had told him years before that he was going to show him. Let me say this again. Delay is not of God. Bible teaches us not to withhold good from those to whom it is due, and to not tell them to come back tomorrow when we have it in our hands. Proverbs 3:27 and 28. And I believe that this is a wisdom of God. Because God is the one that gave Solomon, who wrote that part of the Bible. And at that time in his life, Solomon was operating in God's wisdom, the sound wisdom of God. Therefore, that mandate not to delay or withhold is a mindset of God. If God wants to hold us by a standard, by such standard, why would he himself, who does not have to wait for anything, who has everything in his hands, why would he have to wait? What is he waiting for? What does he want to accomplish by waiting? Many times when men delay to give somebody something, it is because they feel that person does not qualify for it, or that person does not deserve it. So we hold on for them to deserve it. But God is not like man. We did not deserve salvation, yet he gave it to us. We did not deserve breath, but he gave us life. So we don't have to deserve anything for God to give anything to us. But we do have to provoke the blessings. Provocation and deserving, there are two different things. We're not going into those in this episode, but it's something for us to think about. If God's timing is rigid, Hezekiah had no hope. God told him to clean up his house and be prepared to die. Was it God's timing for him to die? If we say it is, why did he now then change his the timeline? Why did he extend Hezekiah's life by 15 years? If God's timing were rigid, human intervention would never be able to modify it. Many times we are the one that harden our hearts to God's instructions that were orchestrated to liberate us. That's why Paul admonished the Hebrews in chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, not to harden their hearts. Let's read that quickly. Today, if you hear this voice, do not harden your hearts. And he emphasized the same thing to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 16. It says, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That is, time and tide waits for no man, which takes us back to the time to live and time to die, time to reap, time to sow, time to reap. We must make hay while the sun shines. Many believers sometimes delay responsibility or decision making because we believe in God's timing for everything. That is, God will arrange everything in His time for us. That is a gruesome error that we must correct. There is no verse in the Bible that says God's timing is the best. We are the one that coined it up. This phrase is popular Christian culture, but directly it is not a biblical teaching. Again, it is a factual statement which has lost its meaning in interpretation. So, what we commonly refer to as God's timing is actually a referendum on our readiness. If I may define God's timing, I would put it this way. God's time is His appointed time in His agenda for man where providence meets readiness. And let me say that again. God's time is His appointed time in His agenda for man where providence meets readiness. Are you ready for that thing you are praying for? When you have that blessing, will you be able to maximize it? Will you be able to grow it? Will you be able to multiply it and be a blessing unto other people? Many times we think we are ready, but God knows whether we are ready or not. And I'm not saying that every delay is a readiness problem. Sometimes there are things that I talked about purpose earlier. There are things that are ordained for certain purposes. That's why Jesus Christ was telling the disciples when they asked him, said, okay, so who sinned, this man, if he was blind from birth? And God told them, no, it is not about someone sinning, but it's about God's name being glorified. It is not a palatable thing to be on that side of the coin where our predicament is that God's purpose be met. So I take that, I say that very carefully, and I do not want to be misinterpreted here. I mentioned in this series, God is a God of love. God loves us all. The same way God loves Jesus, yet He allowed Jesus to go through all He had to go through, that you and I may have the salvation that we need. So that part of the equation where someone's illness or sickness or predicament is for a purpose, I do not know. I do not have that answer. I am not God, but this I know, that God loves us so much that if we ask for anything from Him and we are strong enough to believe that He can give it to us and we trust Him deeply, that once we ask, it has been given to us, then we will have whatever we say. I choose to believe in God's word. It has worked for me, still working for me. Has it always been very smooth? No, but I have hope and faith that He who promised anything is able to perform it. And because He said that Jesus Christ came to this world that I may have abundant life, and I think we need to redefine define clearly what abundant life means. Many times when we hear of blessing or abundant life, the only thing we think about is money. Abundant life does not say money. Money is included. What is abundant to you? To some people, money means nothing. Warren Buffett has billions of money. but he has written out a will to donate a chunk of it to the Bill Gates Foundation. There are many people out there that give out everything that comes their way. They feel it's even a taboo to keep any wealth. They believe that any wealth that's been given to them is for a purpose to be a blessing unto other people. So when such people have a need and ask for resources, they always get it, compared to the one that's just hoarding everything, getting from everyone, never giving out to anyone. So today, brethren, I want us to rethink that statement that God's timing is the best. It is not about God's timing. It is about our readiness. And I defined God's timing as his appointed time in his agenda for man, where providence meets readiness. And part of this readiness for an unbeliever is the decision to decamp from Satan's cottage and join the household of faith. Your decision to give your life to Christ may be the first step in your breakthrough process that God has been waiting on for you. Do not let this time pass you by. And if you want to do that today, repeat these words after me. Lord, I am sorry for ignoring your words all this while. I renounce sin today and choose to walk in the light you made for me. Forgive me and write my name in the book of life. I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior, and choose to serve him all of my life. Empower me to partake in the dominion life Jesus Christ sacrificed himself for me to have. Create in me a clean heart and renew your right spirit within me. Teach me your ways so that I can walk in your path for your glory. In Jesus' name. And brethren, congratulations, for that is the wisest decision anyone has ever made. And allow me to help you in this newfound journey of yours by reaching out to me via akinsd.com/connect and let me know that you took that decision today to join the household of faith. And I want to rush to you a complimentary audiobook version of my book, Yes and Amen, which I believe will bless you tremendously. There's great testimonies about the book of deliverance, of many diverse testimonies and breakthroughs in the hand of God. And I believe that your testimony will be the next, in Jesus' mighty name. And to my partners and listeners out there, I use this opportunity as always to thank you for your unalloyed support. Thank you for the likes, for the shares, for the comments, for the feedbacks, and for the kind gestures. I do not take any for granted. May God continue to bless you abundantly. May your life continue to shine brighter and brighter, in Jesus' mighty name. And with that, we have come to the end of today's episode. I hope that this has been of great value to you, and I want to thank you for listening. Again, happy Thanksgiving to all Americans listening, and for any other people from any part of the world that also celebrate Thanksgiving, happy Thanksgiving celebration to you. But remember, Thanksgiving is a daily exercise. It's a lifestyle, not a single day event. So as you continue to celebrate, also share the love of Christ to your neighbors out there, at your place of work, at your school, at your worship. Let everybody feel Christ through you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Hallelujah. Amen.